Grace, mercy, and peace unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you place so many blessings into our lives, certainly not the least of which is your divine protection from evil. We pray that you will continue to watch over us during the trying times of our lives and give us the guidance that we need to keep from falling into the ways of a sinful world. And as we gather here this morning, Lord, to offer up our thanks and praise, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart will be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever seen a movie that just really touches your heart and soul so deep down that you can't get it out of your head? Now, I usually don't watch, you know, kind of mushy type movies, but the movie Brian Song is one that I will constantly remember until the day I die. And I admit, it's tough not to get a little choked up when at the end of the movie, something bad happens, in case you've never seen it, and I don't want to be a spoiler. But the movie that will always haunt my brain and troubles me to this very day is one I saw as a teenager, The Exorcist. I was totally unprepared for that movie, and it still creeps me out to no end to this day. Well, today's gospel message touches on the topic of that movie, demon possession, something in the modern day church that we generally, much like the apocalypse or the end times, don't generally talk about. This account told to us today is in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's a very powerful message about confronting evil and how evil will ultimately fail when confronted by the power of God Almighty. In the verses just prior to our reading this morning, Jesus was in a boat sleeping when a big storm blew up. The disciples kind of freaked out, thinking they were all going to die at sea. So they woke Jesus up and he calmed the storm and the sea. But the power of that wind blew the boat into Gentile territory, the land of the Gerasenes or the Gadarenes or the Gangesenes, depending on which version of scripture that you happen to read. And who greets Jesus and his already shaky disciples as they get out of the boat? A naked, demon-possessed guy who lived in the local tombs. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I would have just gotten back in the boat and pushed off to sea again. But luckily for that dude, Jesus has vastly more compassion than I do. The people of the region had tried to restrain this man, but he broke their chains. He lived in the caves that also served as the burial plots for the dead. His life was a complete and total train wreck. Yet when Jesus walked onto the shore, the man settled down. Even the demons possessing this guy begged for Christ's mercy, asking not to be thrown into the abyss, but into a herd of swine. And to top it all off, those who saw this great miracle went and told more people, and they were mad about losing their livelihood and the swine, the income, and they were quite afraid of the power that Jesus Christ has in this world. And you think you had a frustrating day? Imagine how the disciples must have felt. But this is a fascinating event in our Lord's lives. You have good meeting evil, a dramatic middle where Jesus confronts the demons and shows compassion even to them, and a surprise ending when he was run out of town. There's a lot going on in this short reading. However, through this encounter, several facts about our Lord are revealed to us that we should take note of. The first and foremost thing that jumps out at you is that evil is real. It's not just something from a scary movie. Ask the people in Afghanistan. Ask the people who are suffering in Ukraine. In our modernistic world, we have all sorts of explanations for acts of evil. But sadly, most of our problem-solving ability fails because we won't fess up to the reality of the problem. We have all kinds of ways to try to explain it and write it off as something earthly we can understand. Consider this country's latest tragic shooting in Uvalde, Texas. What's the first thing that everybody said when this happened? We have to ban the guns. Now, I don't know what your stance on gun control is. I don't care what your stance on gun control is. But we're putting all the blame on the wrong things. It's not the gun that kills. If you take a gun and set it in the middle of your dining room table, it'll just sit there. It won't shoot anybody. It won't go off. It won't get up and walk away. It's the person that pulls the trigger that is the root of the problem. And if you live in reality in this world, you have to know that the bad guys will always find a way to find a weapon, banned or not. More and more, we are becoming a culture that doesn't want to admit that evil really exists. We turn to psychology to explain away acts of evil and relieve people from their personal responsibilities for their behavior. Pass the buck onto something else, so to speak. Consider the big-name shooting sprees from Columbine to the theater in Colorado to Newtown and on and on and on. You can't turn around without someone on television trying to analyze why the people did what they did. Many theories were come up with, except for one, that this was just an act of evil in the world. Evil had taken over people's lives. We have to realize the fact that Satan, demons, and evil is unapologetically discussed throughout scriptures and is called a danger to be avoided. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." In the gospel message, Jesus wasn't confronting something imaginary or made up in people's minds, but something that is very real. And we are making a grave mistake when we deny the existence of that evil in the world. I remember an old Gunsmoke episode. I've seen all of them countless times. I love that show. But one of the episodes really made me respect Marshall Dillon more than I ever had. An outlaw was in Dodge causing trouble as usual, and his nephew thought he was a really, really great man. As expected, the outlaw was gunned down, and in the final scene, Matt and the nephew were standing on Boot Hill where this guy was buried. And the nephew was just carrying on about, oh, he was such a wonderful person and a great guy, full of compassion. And then Matt says, the dead man was evil, and he had been trouble most of his life. Marshall Dillon saw it for what it was. He called it out, and so should we. When we fail to acknowledge that evil exists in the world, we become blind to it, as the nephew had. And even worse, we just put up with it. You can't tell the difference between good and evil if you don't recognize both. The second thing that jumped out to me anyway is we see that Jesus reaches out to everyone, even amazingly evil people. The storm didn't blow Jesus across the sea to the land of the Gadarenes by accident. He was, in his own way, seeking out the possessed man so desperately need in Christ's presence in his life. That is Jesus Christ's way, to seek out those in need, to heal those in need of healing. Our Lord never excuses sin or errant behavior. He never rewrites God's laws to fit into any personal situation. He spoke to people who were shunned by those around them and touched the unclean people that the decent society of that day would not come near. He ate with sinners, drunkards, gluttons. Evil was a reality in those people's lives. But Christ is a truth that they could not deny. What we can learn from this story is that change is necessary in our lives. And it can happen if we let Jesus into our hearts. The third verse in the old hymn book, Rock of Ages, Cleft to Me, LBW, page 327. Goes, nothing in my mind I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Our gospel reading isn't simply a tale of a man living in a tomb long, long ago. Fact of the matter is, we are all that man living in the darkness of a tomb, bound by sin, helpless, in need of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when we let Christ come into our lives, there is hope for change, for a better life, a better world in which to live. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7 through 10, we read, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Back in the 70s, when the movie The Exorcist was released, I remember it caused quite a commotion. There was a lot of talk about it. Many people were talking about it, and that's probably why I wanted to see it so bad. It wasn't just a creepy movie. It put that reality of evil actually existing into people's minds, and it got them thinking. Evil is a harsh reality of which we as Christians must acknowledge, but it's certainly not anything we should fear. For we have been given the greatest weapon in anyone's arsenal to fight it with Jesus Christ our Lord by our sides. Through him and through alone, all things are possible. Amen.